In the desert. Barak, in the desert.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Barak?
Yeah,
happy. You should continue. We're not sure. Should we discuss Parshas Naso, or should we continue the overview? So what do we do? We'll do both. We'll do a little of both, no? That sounds good. We have Askama. So the first question, which we ended off with last week, is what's going on in Perek Dalet? You understand what I mean? We talked last week about how the four prokim in Parshat Bamidbar, the first two are about the Shvatim, and the second two are about the Levim, right? The first of each one is the counting, the second of each one is where they encamp and what their role is. Right? We talked about this last week?
Mm-hmm.
So Perek Gimel is counting the Levim, Perek Dalet is about where each of them camp and what they carry in the Mishkan. And the Kasha is, why is the Perek divided by the Parshiot? What I mean by that is, the first part of Perek Dalet deals with which family of the Levim.
Kahath.
Second part deals with
Gershon.
Third part
Merari.
And where does the Parsha divide?
After Kahath.
After Kahath. The Christians, with their division of the Prakim, seem to be more accurate in that all three are in one Perek. So the first thing is not just a question about the Parshios. If you look carefully, you see that the Torah in its description already divides there between them. First of all, if you look between Gershon and Merari, where do we move from Gershon to Merari? What pasuk? Very hard to find it because it's nondescript. Pasuk Chaf Tes. Everyone sees it? It's a little hard to find it because there's nothing spectacular about it. Where do we move from Kahat to Gershon? Chaf Aleph. What's the difference between how we move from Kahat to Gershon versus how we move from Gershon to Merari?
Kind of a parsha versus those.
There's a new Dibur. Forget the parshiyot, right? But Yadaber Hashem El Moshe Lem. There's a new Dibur there. There isn't a new Dibur for Merari. So what I'm trying to say is that the division of parshiyot has basis in the very words of the parak, right? Now part of the reason there's a new Dibur is because there's another Dibur in between Kahath and Gershom, and that is the Mafti, right? Everyone sees what I'm talking about? Yud Zayin? So we need a Dibur to get ourselves back on track with Gershom. I'm not explaining why, but just explaining the facts. Another proof of the fact that if you have to divide between the three, he did it.
Great.
You have Kahath on the one hand versus Gershon and Merari on the other hand. Another basis for this is, anyone? Which of the sons of Aaron is responsible for who? What I mean by that is, each family of Levim had a Ben Aaron, right, one of the Kohanim, in charge of them. Who was in charge of Kahath? Inside.
Elazar.
Who was in charge of Gershon?
Itamar.
And Merari?
Itamar.
So the point is, you know what that's like, right? Have Itamar in charge of you, right? So my point is, if you're looking, you see that division again, that Kahat is in one group, and Gershon and Merari are in the other group, and if anything, what you realize now, especially once you see Elazar versus Itamar, who is the Mochash of Kohen, if I can say, who is older?
Elazar.
Who then became the Kohen Gadol. So Kahat is in the hands of the more older, prestigious brother. And I think the reason why, just to fill in the blank now, is... Anyone? So let's see one more thing. Let's now get to the content. Starting in Pasuk Gimel. Let's start in Pasuk Beis. Naso, et rosh b'nei Kahat, mitoch b'nei Levi, demishchotan levet ovotam. Ibn shalashim shana v'amal v'ad ben chamishim shama. Let's remember the words. Kol bala tzava, lasot melacha ba'ol moed. First of all, I'll mention something interesting to you, which is a little bit tangential to what we're talking about right now, but very important anyway. Which Shvatim had to do Tzava? Well, that's the point I'm trying to make to you. And people generally talk about how the other Shvatim besides Levi had to do Tzava, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here you see they also had to do Tzava. Look at Pasuk Gimel, what does it say? Kol Bala Tzava, right? They also had to do Tzava. What's the difference between the Tzava of the other Shvatim and the Tzava of Levi?
It's like working on a mission.
What's the difference in the verb used? How are the other Shvatim described? They are
Yotzei
Tzava. This is Bala Tzava. I mean, there's two kinds of Tzava. There's Tzava where you go out to fight enemies, and there's Tzava where you come in to work on the inside. What?
All of them
have to be Bala Tzava. We're going to get to the language, but Bala Tzava is the same. They all have to come inside and do work on the inside. It might be an interesting model today, which on the one hand, we believe that there are different models of work. There's Avodas HaKodesh, there's war, there's, right? But everyone has to do something. Then he's getting back to the point. Kol balatava, listen carefully. Lasot milacha ba'oel moed. Zot avodat b'nei kahat ba'oel moed. Kodesh ha-kodeshim. Okay, everyone sees it? Try and remember those words, as we'll read Gershon. How is it different? But besides the word savak, we haven't gotten up to that yet. First time it's laso milacha, now it's avodah. Kahat was described as kodesh kadashim, there describes zot avodah mishpachot gershuni. Lavodu lamasa. It's not the same kedusha. It's more of a labor than a malacha. And the same thing with merari. Kahat melacha, which is the word the Torah uses, is the kodesh hakadoshim. It's a different level, which explains also why we need the special dibur of maftir to make sure that they should do it properly. They shouldn't get killed, because their avoda is the kind of avoda that could kill you if they're not careful about how to do it correctly, right? What's with me here? Okay. Last week I also mentioned the unique, where we stressed how Parshat Bamidbar stresses throughout the Parsha of the Levim, right? Already at the end of both Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, in addition to not counting the Levim, we're given a tzivu, a special tzivu, with an elaboration of not counting the Levim because they're special, because they're different. In Perek Gimel, when we actually get to the Levim, the Torah starts telling us more about exactly who the Levim are and what their place are. Let's take a look together. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Hey. After the first four parakim of Perek Gimel, where it talks about counting the Kohanim, first part of Levi, then it says in Pasuk Hey, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, Hakrev et Mateh Levi, Vamadeta oto lifnei Aaron Kohen v'shertu oto, v'shamru et mishmarto, that mishmeret kol ha'eda lifnei Ol Moed la'avodat avodat mishkan. So what are we hearing? First we're told in Pasuk Vav that they have to serve Aaron. Then we're told that they're doing his mishmeret, right, Aaron, that mishmeret kol ha'eda, they're doing something that's on behalf of all the Jewish people, right? And what they're doing practically, Pasuk Chet, is v'shamru et kol klei Ol Moed v'mishmeret b'nei Yisrael la'avodat avodat mishkan. Pasuk Tet, v'natat et alivim li'aron u'levanav nitunim nitunim hem alo me'et b'nei Yisrael v'et aron v'benav tifko v'shamru et kunatam v'azar korev yumad. Pasuk Tet gives us a better sense of how the Levim connect to the Jewish people as a whole and to the Kohanim in particular. How? The Levim are given to the Kohanim from B'nai Yisrael, I would add, to do B'nai Yisrael's work for the Kohanim in the Mishkan. And what is their work? One of the things described in Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Chet said they watch the Kelim. What are they watching it from? The Tzar. Who is the Tzar? B'nai Yisrael. So they are representing B'nai Yisrael and protecting B'nai Yisrael by serving for the Kohanim. Getting the idea? All this is clarified more in the rest of this Perek and in Perek Chet. The rest of this Perek describes how we count the Levim, and it's very important because the Levim need to exchange for the Bechoras of the Jewish people, which is the best way of us seeing that they really are doing the work of the Jewish people that would naturally have been done by the Bechoras. Instead, it's going to be done by the Levim. So that's Perek Gimel. Now let's fast forward to Perek Chet. We already spoke last week about how Perek Chet is in a very interesting place. In between the first unit, which is Bamidbar, Nasa, Aleph through Zion. Remember the first parakim which describes setting up the Machaneh, and then the Mishkan day / event in Perek Zion of the Karbanos of the Nesiim, which leads to the communication of the Mishkan. And then the second unit, which begins in Balotcha and Perek Tet, with the second date. Perek Tet, Pasuk Aleph, talks about the Korban Pesach, and that leads up to the traveling, the second Mishkan event in Pasuk Tet Vav. In between Aleph through Zion and Perek Tet, we have Perek Tet. And interestingly enough, what is Perek Chet about? The Levim. The inauguration of the Levim. As opposed to Sefer Vayikra, end of Shemot, Sefer Vayikra, which is about the inauguration of the Kohanim, Sefer focused on the Mishkan. This Sefer is about the inauguration of the Levium because, as we spoke about last week, they are the buffer. They are the representatives of the Shvatim themselves who live there and are meant to interface with the Shvatim. So see what we're told in Perakhet here. First is a piece that relates to what the Kohanim are going to do, the menorah. Then Pasuk Hey, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Kach et Alevim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'tiarta otam. And again, let's remember the whole process we saw with the Kohanim. Right, they have to be sprinkled, they have to have karbonot brought. Interestingly, Pasuk Tet, v'ikrafta et Alevim l'fnei Ol Moed, v'hikhalta et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Why do you have to gather the whole Jewish people? Pasuk Yud. V'yikrafta et Alevim l'fnei Hashem, v'samechu v'nei Yisrael et yedehem al Alevim. The Levim look like a carbon. Whose carbon are they? In Israel. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hinif Aaron et Alevim t'nufa l'fnei Hashem made b'nei Yisrael. You have to lift them up. You know, so it should be clear. V'hayu l'avod et avodat Hashem. The Levim are dedicated by the Jewish people to serve God in the Mishkan. So now the Levim put their hands on the korbanos that are being brought on their behalf. Pasuk Gimel completes the process. You put the Levim in front of Aaron, and they're lifted up as a tenufa. Pasuk Yudalid, summary: V'hivdalta et Alevim mitoch bnei Yisrael, v'hayu li halevim. You look at Rishon here, it's the story of the Levim being dedicated by, donated by the Jewish people to serve God. Correct? How do they serve God? Pasuk Tetvav. V'acharechein yavo ha-Levim la'avod et Ol Moed. How do they serve God? By working in the Ol Moed. Ki, Pasuk Tetzayin, very important. Nitunim, nitunim hemali. Mitoch bnei Yisrael tachad pitrat kol rechem v'chor kol bnei Yisrael lekachti otam li kirichol bnei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael b'yom kodim v'chor 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 very important v'etna'a talavim nitunim li'aron u'levanav mitoch bnei Yisrael. Who did the Jewish people give the Levim to? We just read it before. Who did the Jewish people give the Levim to? Hashem. Who does Hashem give them to? To the Kohanim. Again, Pasuk Yutet. V'yetna et alevim nitunim li'aron ulevanav mitoch b'nei Yisrael la'avod et avodat b'nei Yisrael ba'ol moed. Let's track this. The Jewish people give the Levim to God. God gives them to the Kohanim to do work in the Mishkan on behalf of b'nei Yisrael. Would you call them a connector piece? Bringing all the different parts together? Who do they work for? I don't know, right? I guess the answer is
everybody.
So this is the unique place of the Levim. Alright. Before we go on to Parshat Balotcha and whatever else on there is, let's talk a little bit about Parshat Naso. And there is what to talk about Parshat Naso. I mean, there's what to talk about every Parshat, but there's something that requires us to speak about Parshat Naso, and that is what goes on between describing the setting up of the Machaneh and the Karbanos brought by the Nesiim from the various Shvatim. I mean, what I would have expected after Perak Dalet completes the four Prakim about setting up the Machaneh, first two about the Shvatim, second two about the Levim, right? After Perak Dalet, we should have gotten to Perak Zayin. What's in Perak Zayin? The Karbanos and the Nesiim. Instead, we have Prakim Hamvav. What's in Prakim Hamvav?
Sota, Nazir, and Birkan Kohanim.
What's going on here? There's one more thing, by the way. What's the one more thing?
Gezel Ager.
Gezel Ager. You with me here? Yaakov, what's going on? Shver Meisen, no? You understand the problem, right? So, Yaakov, you're aware of this problem?
I'm aware of this.
What's the answer? What?
Part of setting up the Machaneh.
How is it part of setting up the Machaneh?
Gezel Ager, social justice.
Put everything in the Torah.
Nazir talks about personal initiative.
This is the Darshan quotient, right? Understand my point? You understand what you mean by the Darshan quotient? I mean, whatever I put in there, you're going to find the connection, right? You understand my point? Let's say the four things in there were, this is random, so when you find the explanation, don't think, lo signov, not eating chazer, tying your shoelaces, and wearing glasses. Go.
Yeah,
lo signov, how can you have a machana where people are stealing from each other?
Pork, it's not.
Pork, that's the central sign of the Jewish people's identity. And for sure, on a communal level, tying shoelaces, you're going to need to walk, right? Again, this was totally one of the first things that came to mind. What was the first one?
Glasses.
Glasses. Push it. You got to see where you're going. You got to see each other, see the good in each other. And on a deeper level, glasses are not just being able to see physically. It's to help improve your vision so you can appreciate each other. Now, which one makes more sense? My random other ones that are here. I don't mean by drash. You understand my point? You guys want to make up for it? No, I bet I can find it. Actually, we should have done it that way. I should have had you give me a random four and see if I could come up with a better shot than that. Anyone? On the simple level, I think what brings together all these stories is that they are ways that the Machane Shechina. Say. What I'm about to say? Machne Shechina. You mean TABC theme? You mean
theme? Personal initiative was also a theme.
I mean
social justice.
We in TABC have our themes already. Now we just fit them in. Is that the point? It's a theme in the school, and now we just fit it in everywhere.
From when we learned Sefer Bamidbar, because they were channelists.
I see. Okay. Well, in any case, in all these stories, there is the Machane Shechina. Is helping with something, is interacting and helping in some way with the machana that's around them. Gezel Ager, the problem we have is what? What?
We can't meet the
Gerim? I can't even say. No, tell me what's going on here, though. What's the situation here? It's true you can't meet the Gerim. First of all, we've got the first one. Psukim Aleph through Dalid are the need to send Tmeim out. Not from Machane Shechina, but from all the Machanot. So we see that there is a level of Tara that needs to be maintained in all the Machanot because the Shechina is in the middle. Look at Pasuk Gimel. Mizachar ad nekeva tishalechu, el michutz lamachane tishalchum, velo yitam'u et machanehem, asher ani shochen b'tocham. Now what's interesting here is Pasuk Bet mentions together Tzaru, Azav, and Tamei Nefesh. We pass an halacha based on other parashiyos that they not all need to leave all three machanot, right? Why are they all mentioned together? Because here the point is to talk about all the machanot together. Dafka, not to make the distinction. You understand my point? The next psukim, Hey through Yud, or about Gezel Ager. Now here the point, Morty, is not, the significance of Ager is not that you shouldn't be mean to Ager. The problem with Gezel Ager is Pasuk Chetnu. When a ger dies, it's possible that he'll have no relatives. That can't happen with a regular Jew. V'im ein le'ish goel hashiva hashem elav. How can I get kapara? I have to make up for what I did wrong.
Why can't
a Jew have no relatives? A ger. Why can't a Jew? He has a father, a mother, a cousin, a brother, a father's brother, cousin. Okay. Keep going, you'll find somebody, right? All Jews are related to all Jews. Now, the question is how far we'll have to go. But all Jews have relatives. A ger can have no relatives. Anyway, getting back to the point. We give the money to the Kohen as the Kapara instead of the Ger. The Kohen solves that problem. Next, we have Sota. Sota, the answer is obvious, right? A man suspects his wife. This is a terrible situation. How do we solve the problem? We come to Machane Shechina. So I have a personal initiative. How do we solve the problem? Koheleth. I don't hear well from the back. What is it? Okay. So we bring it to Machane Shechina, and there the Kohen helps clarify what the story is. Then we get to Perek Vav. There's someone who's a person who's a regular Shevet Nazir Yisrael who wants to reach a higher level, and he patterns himself after the Kohanim. And finally, maybe the climax, where the Kohanim aren't solving the problem of Gezel Ager Sota, but they're placing the name of God on the Jewish people so that God can bless them. This is all about that interaction, no? This is what you meant?
They still seem to be somewhat random. Like it could have been Gezel Ager. It could have spoken about any other type of Gezel instead of Sota.
No. Gezel Ager is unique because we need the Kohanim to solve the problem for us. The problem here isn't Gezel. That's not why it's here, and it's not because of Ger, like Morty said. Do you understand my point? We have an Isser of Ger in Parashas Kedoshim, in Parashas Bahar.
It's the Kohanim.
It's the Kohen who needs to get involved, right? I didn't make the point clear enough. Yeah, 100%. If you can think of other examples, it should be here. I'm happy to, you know, because it would help me see if, you know. Anyway, not to just talk about that and move on, maybe to talk a little bit about some of the details of the things here. Let's talk a little about Sota. Everyone ready? Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yamar talehem. Isho ishaki yefli. No, that's not it. I didn't mean that. I meant Sota. Perakei pasgir alef. Ma'idaber Hashem ha'moshe le'mor. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yamar talehem. Ish ish. Ki tiste ishto umal of omal. First interesting thing here is that when a woman isn't faithful to her husband, we use the same term that's used to describe taking from Hektish. Me'ila. Umal of omal. V'shachav ish ota shichvat zera. That's pretty severe, right? What are we talking about so far? A woman had an affair, right? V'ne'alam me'inei isha v'nistera v'hi nitma v'eid ein ba v'hi lo nitbasa. What's the situation being described? Let's give Gimel.
Harassed without Eden.
What without Eden?
Adultery without Eden.
Everyone sees that? Pasuk Dalet. V'avar alav ruach kina v'kineh tishto v'hi nitma. Now he has kina because of that. Oh! Everyone heard the word oh? I'm going to say it again. Oh! Adam, what did I just say? Thank you. Avar alav ruach kina v'kineet ishto v'hi lo nitma. I don't know if everyone read this carefully. I mean, what is the Torah saying? We're talking about two possible situations. Meaning, the common denominator is there's kina. One of two things could have happened. She had an affair, or she didn't have an affair. We're dealing with both situations at once. Okay? Im lo shachat ishotach, v'im lo satit tumah tachat ishech, hinakim me'amarim arimadam. V'at ki satit tachat ishech, v'chin itmet, yiten itbav shachato, v'alei isha, v'shbi akorit isha v'shvat ala, v'amar akorit isha, yiten Hashem otach le'ala v'l'shvua v'toch amech, v'tet Hashem yurchein ofel v'bnei tzava. V'var marimadam arach, v'dbav marimach, v'amar isha amen amen. How many shvua are there here?
Very common.
Compound.
Yeah.
Okay. How many are there in this compound? Is it like NaCl? Is it like, think of a compound that has three atoms in it. H2O, but it's just hydroxyl, just twice. It's kind of like H2O. Knew how many shvuos? Sorry? Two. See how there's a new verb in Pasuk Chaf Aleph? What's the difference between Yutes and Chaf versus Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis? Well, they're both Vishbiyah, right? Okay. Meaning they have separate introductions. I'm asking how we know they're different. I'm asking now what is the difference, right?
It's like if she was guilty, she wasn't guilty.
Well, the first one also mentions the possibility of guilty, right? I mean, the first Shvua, Yutet and Chaf, is that now we're going to clarify. The second Shvua is a Klala. We're dealing with the two situations. One is we're not sure. The other is where we're sure. It's all being wrapped up into this one case. And now it says Pasuk Zayin, "Vishkat amayim v'haytai nitma v'tmo ba'am b'yisha." Uvav ba'amayim v'alam v'am zavav v'alam 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 v'alam. Pasuk Zayin is describing the kiyum of the second shvua. V'im lo nitma aisha utorai v'nikta v'nizra zara. And of course, Chazal developed that thing, right? That she had blessings now. That's not just a punishment; it's a clarification that can lead to blessings. Zot torat haknot asher tiste isha tachat isha v'nitma. Oh, ish asher tavar olav ruach kina v'kineh tishto v'mit teishas neshem v'salak v'hen v'kol tarazot. Meaning, we're dealing with these two scenarios. Scenario number one, Chavtet. Scenario number two, Lamed. It's just important to see that because I don't know if people don't appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit now and out. Another theory. The point was that Sota brings together two different scenarios that we're treating very often at the same time, but they're two very different possibilities that we're addressing differently. One is the possibility that she was Nitma, and that is something that we have to have a klala for. And the other is a question of doubt, which we need to clarify so that we can move on. Now, what I'm trying to show is that the Torah addresses each one of them separately, so we should see how it's dealing with each one of them separately. Nazir. So I'm not going to speak now about Chazal's discussion about whether Nazir is good or bad. In the text itself, you don't see. But let's talk a little bit about what the Torah speaks about Nazir, which is the process of a Nazir. Right, the Torah begins by talking about the dinim of a Nazir, but that's just the first couple of psukim. Most of the perek is talking about the end of the process of the Nazir, and there's two possible ends. Right, what are the two possible ends? Ideally, what happens?
He finishes.
He finishes Betara. The alternative is?
He finishes
Betuma. Tuma happens. What happens when Tuma happens? That's correct, but that's not the whole story. What do you do?
He has to get rid of everything that he started with before.
What does he mean, get rid of everything he started with before?
He has to shave his head.
Ah, okay. Look at Pasuk Tet. Very interesting Pasuk. V'chi yamut meit ala v'feta v'tom. V'timei rosh nizro. What does that mean? V'timei rosh nizro. What does that mean? He makes the head of his nizir's tameh? What are we talking about? Where he was metami himself with his head? But he headbutted a dead person? What's going on here?
Period of his being a nezer. Rosh
is
right.
Rosh is not literal.
Right.
How do we know Rosh is literal?
Because he has shaved his hair.
What?
Because the next word is
Megillah Roshok. So what's that? You guys want to hear something interesting? The Naziris is, what's the term looking for? The realization of the Nazirus is what represents the Nazirut is the Nazir's hair. Again, let me ask you, why can't he be Mitami himself? Because you're not allowed to be Mitami yourself, right? Toma, Kaddish, man, okay. Why do you have to let your hair grow? That was one of the halachas, right? Samson, remember? Why do you have to let your hair grow? Because the hair is the Nazirus. Why is the hair the Nazirus? Okay, what if you paint yourself black? Or green?
It's not one of the external things
we're going to
do.
Why does the Torah talk about the hair? You're right, but I don't know if it's external as much as it's regenerated. I'll explain what I mean. Everyone see my arm? Everyone look at their arm. Alright? Is this the same arm you had last year, 2 years ago? Let's say with you when you sinned once. Okay, now you want to start over. Can you replace your arm? Same arm that sins is the same arm that's doing mitzvahs, right? What's the one part of the human body that replaces itself? Hair. What?
Liver.
The liver.
How about nails?
We could conceivably have a liver, the nose, you cut his liver out, what?
And nails.
Nails. Maybe nails. But hair, I guess, is different because it's part of what, we identify ourselves with, I guess, right? And you tell me, right? Hair is new. The hair represents the Nazirus. And if you were Mitami yourself, even if it doesn't touch your hair, how do you start over? You shave off your hair, because that's Tame hair. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, the arm is also Tame. Maybe you should cut off your arm. You shave off your hair, and what do? You start with new hair. Now, in case you doubt what I'm saying to you, that the hair represents the Nazirus, let's look ahead at what happens at the end of the Tara Nazirus. What do you do? What do you mean burn it? Cut off the hair and burn it on the Mizbeach. That's like more than yellows. That's yellows of four. You build a Mizbeach and you burn hair on it. It's like spooky stuff. It's a shame. That's the whole point. The spookier we are, the higher we are on the scale.
Yes.
The closer we are to normal reality, the more you're close to yellows of one. the more you feel like you're Grizzly Adams, and you're doing strange things, and you're like an animal, you're Yalo Zufor. Of course, when I say animal, I don't mean a goat. Goat is not good. Other animals? Okay. Anyway, getting back to the point, that was the point. I think it was a good point. All right, any questions on Nasso? Why does the Torah tell us the Karbanos of each Nasi, going through it again and again and again? You ever notice that they're exactly the same? Not even a letter different? We're all individuals. I'm not. So someone once said that this is to show you that if the Torah wants to write something exactly the same way, it can. I don't think that is why the Torah did it, but the point is that when it doesn't write something the same way, there's a reason why. Sometimes we don't take it seriously. Yeah, come on. We can write things the same way. In any case, I assume the reason it writes each one is because it wants to show you the significance of each one independently, equally significant, and equally independently significant even though it's the same thing. Right? Alright, now we're moving ahead. I guess the best way to move ahead is to look forward to Parshat Balotcha and recognize the strange phenomenon that we find in Parshat Balotcha. What's the strange phenomenon? What's the strange phenomenon in Parshas Balotcha? It would be better if there were more than one phenomenon, because then we would call it a phenomena. Phenomena. What's the phenomenon? Look at the end of Perek Yud.
The backwards nuns.
Is that personal initiative? Or is that being personally backwards?
Rosara nuns.
Rosara nuns. What?
It's own safer, so it deserves a new theme.
It's its own safer. What makes it its own safer?
The Rosara nuns.
What?
Because we sing it.
Okay.
And you consider each one a phenomenon, then we get phenomena.
The question is if it's the same phenomenon twice. I don't know if that's a phenomenon. I'm just trying to explain it to you. Anybody got to be careful. Why are there two nuns here? There's a major difference between what the Torah is talking about up to Perek Yud, including before the nuns, and what it's talking about after the nuns.
After the nuns is all the failures.
And up to the nuns?
The potential.
Meaning, up to and including Perek Yud is when the Jewish people are preparing to travel. We already began, let's go back. We began in Perek Tet with the Korban Pesach. We spoke about the connection, right? Second part of Perek Tet, we have what? Pesach Sheni, for those who missed it, right? And then Revi, Pesach Tet Vavanon, described how they'll travel with the Anon al Pi Hashem. A whole lengthy description here. Perek Yud.
The actual beginning of the travels.
The Chatzotzot. Why do we need the Chatzotzot? Because they announced to people that were traveling. That's the three different purposes, but that's the one that causes it to be mentioned here. And then Chamishi said, "Vayibish Shana Sheni v'Chodesh Sheni v'Esrim v'Chodesh Na'aleh Alam Me'al Mishkan Eidut Vayisu B'nei Yisrael." They actually begin to travel. The last piece of Perikud, they begin to travel.
Well,
we get the Chovah, right? Okay, Moshe invites them to come with them. So they're getting ready to go, and everything's good. And then, Perek Yud Aleph, as the travel continues, or begins, like an action in earnest, things fall apart. You could say that the Jewish people went bankrupt in chapter 11. Why can you say that? Because that's what happened. Interestingly, right in between, we have these nuns that surround the Ibn Sa'aron. Now, as you guys were pointing out, one can say that the nuns function like what they look like, parentheses. Its own sefer, right? What is the function of this own sefer that appears in the middle of two other sefarim and thus is read as part of the sefer, even though it's in parentheses, right? What's the function? To spook them. To split them. Why would you have two nuns? I could have split them. What is the significance of these psukim? I believe that these psukim are what could have and should have been. Meaning the natural, correct, ideal continuation of Parakut is Vayibin Tzahoron Vayom Mashiach Kum Hashem Vayifu Tzavechim Yom Shub Hashem Vidal Yisrael. That didn't happen. Which is why it's in parentheses, not square parentheses, circle parentheses, which are square parentheses. But in any case, what actually happened is Parakut Aleph Nun. And it's really a transition, if you look right before the parentheses and right after the parentheses, from, use the Hebrew words that Torah uses, from Okay, let's take a look together. The last piece, after it says they start traveling, is Moshe's invitation to Chovav, his father-in-law, to come with them, right? What happens? Moshe invites him. What does he say?
No.
No, thank you, right? What does Moshe then say?
Please.
Come on! What does Chovav say?
Nothing.
We don't know. I imagine he said something, right? Which is strange, because, like, do you want to know what happened? In fact, there's a debate. Did he go with them or not? And why do we not know?
Toss.
Why does it not tell us? Isn't that the whole point? Guess not. So what's the point of the story? What does the story highlight?
Oof.
I think that's correct, but before we get to that, what does it highlight? There are 1, 2, 3, 4 psukim that describe the conversation. How many psukim are Yisro speaking? 1. 3 of the 4 psukim are Moshe inviting him. The Torah wants you to hear Moshe inviting him because what it wants you to hear is Moshe's belief that
everything's good.
Everything's going to be good. Let's take a look how many times the word appears. Tafchavtet. L'cha itanu v'heitavnu lach ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. He says, no, thank you. And then he says, what do you mean? Patsuk lamed bed. Vaya ki telech imana vaya atov ahu asher yitiv Hashem imach v'heitavnu lach. 3 psukim? 5 times. Moshe's confident it's all going to be? Good. Perikid Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi Am. Give it to Nimrod. Moshe sees the potential for good, and they see only bad. In fact, it's so frustrating, and they are so successful at ruining everything that Pasuk Yud, after the Jews complained for the second time, it said, Vayishma Moshe et Am bochel mishpachotav ish lepetach halo vayichar af Hashem mod uveinei Moshe. You're in Moshe now. Sees bad. Why? Because it's bad. It's not the reality. Isn't bad. The Jews are bad. This is, of course, where things spin out of control and where the problems begin. And that we'll talk more about next week, right? Phenomenon. I think we're done, right?
How many Raz are there?
There are many Raz. See more next week. We'll go through all the Raz next week.
America.
Next week will be the last.
Right.
How far can this be?